All right, it's a Tuesday. What do? We do the Dial-A-Doc at this time every Tuesday morning. And she joins us as the infection preventionist at FHN. Margie Coachmeyer's back with us again today. Hey, Margie, good morning. Hello to you.
Good morning.
Always great to talk to you, although now we're talking about this Delta variant and also students going back to school. I guess let's start first of all. Let's talk about the Delta variant and how dangerous is it for children?
Well, you know, when we first saw the COVID-19 virus, we didn't see a lot of kids getting it, but now the cases of kids has increased. There's two kids that died last week in Memphis, Tennessee, and they've reported 6 deaths in kids 10 and younger and 5 deaths in people 11 to 20. So this Delta virus has been reported as the most prevalent in the United States. It spreads more quickly, it's more infectious, and it's been more severe for people. So, you know, we always say if there is a disease that is preventable, we don't want kids getting it.
All right, and now there's two sets of kids we have to talk about today, the 12 and above and the less than 12 years old. How can we protect the kids, whether if they're vaccinated or not? Talk about that.
Pfizer is the only manufacturer right now that has vaccine for 12 and older. The best protection, of course, for those that are vaccinated, they've got their vaccine. Now they need to continue additional preventative measures like wearing their mask when they're indoors, frequent hand hygiene, and avoiding crowds. The best protection for those who are too young to be vaccinated is to follow those additional preventative measures that the vaccinated kids do, the mask, the hand hygiene with hand sanitizer, washing their hands before they eat and using the restroom, and then some social distancing. Outdoors is always better than indoors because the air is less concentrated with virus. When the crowds get bigger or as we start to move indoors, masking by everybody is going to be important to stay safe.
Margie, as you look at the literature, what do you see in terms of how soon, if ever, that Pfizer would move to 12 and under in terms of vaccination? Do you see that on the radar screen at all?
They are working on it right now. They're working. They have a study right now with 6 months to, I can't remember how old, and then they've got another group. The issue is going to be that the dose is going to be different. So from what I've read, it's going to be a 3-milligram dose for the really young kids, 10 milligrams for kind of that middle, and then 30 milligrams for 12 and older. So you're going to have to watch the age groups, and it will depend on the dose.
All right, let's go back to how we should handle our unvaccinated children, whether they're 12 and above or 12 and below because they're unvaccinated. Should they stay away from grandparents and older people?
If a grandparent is fully vaccinated, and fully vaccinated means 2 weeks after the second dose of a two-dose vaccine like Pfizer or Moderna, or 2 weeks after the one dose of Johnson & Johnson, then the risk of infection is pretty low. If a grandparent is immunocompromised, you know, they have cancer or they've been pretty sick, you may want to reconsider either having the child wear a mask if they need to be around the grandparent. If kids are ill, I would say not to visit. But one of the best ways that parents can protect their kids is by getting vaccinated themselves.
What about unvaccinated kids? Should we keep them out of stores and other indoor places for the time being?
I would say think about each situation. If the kids don't need to go to an indoor place, don't take them. If the kids need to go, have them wear a mask for protection. Make sure they're wearing the mask correctly. It has to cover the nose and the mouth. Have them use hand sanitizer when leaving the indoor place and before eating. And a lot of this depends on the positivity rate in the areas that you're visiting. You can check that on the IDPH website. And if you're traveling, you can also go to the state that you're visiting's website, and they will tell you what their positivity rate is.
Okay, so I'm a vaccinated parent. How likely would it be that I can pass the Delta variant to my unvaccinated child?
We know that vaccinated people who have been in contact either knowingly or unknowingly with an infected person can carry some amount of the virus to other. If the parent is vaccinated, the amount they spread will be lessened. Not that they can't, but they'll carry less viral load. So vaccinated people will transmit less virus.
Okay, what about babies and toddlers and 12 and under, and maybe, I guess, less than school age? headed to back to daycare soon. How do we protect those kids?
Well, because they're very young children that don't have vaccine available at this time, it's going to be up to their caregivers to provide them the best protection. And this includes the caregiver being vaccinated, practicing good hand hygiene, and that's going to help protect these kids. Children should be at least 2 years old before they wear a mask, and the reason is because babies and kids under two have smaller airways, so breathing would be harder for them through a mask. And many kids can't tell you, I'm having trouble breathing. So the recommendation is to wait until at two or older to wear a mask. And daycares and preschools, not mixing teachers and classrooms is recommended. And then encourage activities outdoors as much as possible.
What about the eased restrictions that seem to be happening at camps now, summer camps this summer? What's your thought on that?
I would say watch the positivity rates and the reports of increased COVID cases in your community. Remember that no vaccine means no protection. As we see numbers of positives start to go back up, it will be protective to go back to wearing those masks indoors. No masks are needed if you're outdoors, if you're at the summer camps, but once you move indoors, they really do need to wear them. And then follow the guidelines that come from each state. Those are meant to keep us safe.
This is now going to be the third school year that the pandemic is impacting us. And I guess returning to school, this is a big issue for parents out there. How worried should parents be about sending their children back to school in person?
I know that parents are so concerned about these kids going back to school. We want the kids to be back in school where learning in the classroom keeps them more engaged and being around friends is good for their social-emotional development. If they have layered mitigation measures that can minimize their risks and help keep them stay in school this year. Reducing those risks is going to mean having to wear masks at school. If everybody is wearing masks, the chance of the virus being transmitted is going to be reduced. Things may be done a little bit different. You know, we're just not used to having to do these things here. Kids may have to eat lunch in their classroom. Open a window in the classroom can provide additional ventilation and dilute the virus that's in the air. Schools are putting safety measures in place to protect the kids and keep them in school.
What about, I don't know, are there any schools around here that aren't requiring or mandating masks? And if so, what should a parent's position be if a school is not mandating masks for students and teachers?
Well, I think they're probably all going to be mandating masks. Governor Pritzker issued a universal mask mandate for Illinois schools, kindergarten through 12th grade, and daycares on August 5th. This is due to the Delta variant spread in Illinois and the increased number of COVID patients that we've seen in the state. As with anywhere you go, if masks are not required, but you feel that you'd be more protected to wear one, then wear one to stay protected.
What's the best way to talk to kids, both younger and older, about COVID-19, the Delta variant, and all this out here about the pandemic?
I think the kids are getting used to us talking to them about it. They're good rule followers, and if you give them facts and instructions, they'll follow them. They usually don't mind wearing masks if they know why they're wearing them. They can be carriers without symptoms, so we have to remind them the importance of wearing their mask is to keep them and the people around them healthy. The wearing the mask has to be done correctly over the nose and mouth, and it's so important in keeping them protected. And then they need to know that we are doing all we can to keep them in school and participating in activities with their friends.
I think I've seen a lot of kids much more accepting of the mask wearing than adults.
It's become the norm for them, I think. So when we tell them the reason they need to wear them, they're good rule followers.
We're talking to Margie Kochmeyer, infection preventionist at FHN on the FHN Dial the Doc program. Margie, what about the Delta variant here in the region? What are we seeing? What are you seeing out there?
Well, the Illinois Department of Public Health has a map on its website, and it shows our areas being high transmission for COVID. As far as identifying the Delta variant specifically, we only know that it's been the predominant strain in the United States. Specimens from labs are sent to the state where the state can identify the strain. So it's a lot like the flu vaccine or the flu virus where, you know it's strain A, but you don't know which strain. They don't check every specimen. So I cannot exactly say what the exposure is for Northwest Illinois for the Delta variant, only that the numbers of COVID positives are increasing.
Margie, before you leave, I've been saying to people, and tell me how wrong I am about this, but I know it doesn't quite fit, but I think it makes sense to me and explains this whole pandemic in my mind, but maybe tell me I'm wrong, is that it seems to me that if you get vaccinated, what happens is effectively the vaccine turns the virus effectively into the flu in terms of the real life impact. Is that true or not?
Well, I'm not sure if I would relate it to the flu because it hasn't really acted a lot like that. But I go back to the initial SARS in China. And when they vaccinated and they closed things down, we never saw that virus. That was the thing to do. They kind of choked it out. So because we haven't been good at getting everybody vaccinated, we have let this continue to mutate. And every time it mutates, this thing is getting stronger. Our vaccines are not going to be as helpful. And that is different than with the flu. Every year, you know, our strain changes and we try to get as protected as possible. This one is different. It's changing more quickly.
And I worry that we're always going to be a step behind. It's always going to continue to mutate ahead of the vaccines. Do you worry about that as well?
I do. I think about being a researcher and trying to stay a step ahead with the vaccine. You know, they've probably been working on a vaccine for the Delta variant, and now we've got several others, the Lambda, and that are coming up. So, and I've heard that Lambda is not going to be very effective with any antibodies that anybody has from having COVID or with vaccines. So we have got to stay ahead of this.
That the Lambda, that's the 11th variation, and that's coming out of Peru. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. Where can I get shot? Where can listeners get shots for their children or grandchildren?
At this time, Pfizer's the only vaccine that's approved for kids 12 and older. And like I said, there's studies underway for the younger. Dosages will be different. But if you're looking for vaccine for your 12-year-old, you can call and schedule an appointment with either CVS or Walgreens, or call the Stevenson County Health Department. For kids too young to take vaccine right now, remember those preventative measures, the mask, the hand hygiene, and avoiding crowds.
All right, Margie. Any place that folks can get additional information about what we talked about today?
The FHN.org site. Make sure that you're keeping up with the Illinois Department of Public Health, IDPH, because they will tell you for your state what the guidelines are and what you need to follow.
All right. Great to talk to you again, Margie. And unfortunately, we'll continue to talk again soon. I know that, right?
Yes, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. Infection preventionist at FHN, Margie Kochmeyer. The preceding brought to you today by FHN.